brought in then, because if the stray gets brought in, we have to hold the finger in for those 10 or 12 days.
Well, there'll be an exit strategy, but I'm pretty confident that we're going to have the next step, and it'll just be a transitional strategy instead of it totally eliminating the program.
Well, I'm only one commissioner, but I believe what we do need, they can definitely help each other by having a partnership.
I think it's too much money for one of us to do it alone, mm-hmm. or even our own alone. It just makes sense to pitch in to me.
I think so.
But
you're seeing, when that button again, you're seeing, in your eyes, you're seeing the county as being the role for doing the billing, doing the
yeah.
employees, the health insurance.
Only the intake facility employees. There's going to be a vastly different number of employees than they have now, because they're not going to have animal control officers. We're going to have the animal control officers. So there's going to be the facility staff that take, and I say vastly different. It will be different. I don't know that it's vastly different, but there will be a smaller number of employees, and they will take animals in, and they will expect to hold them only the minimum amount of time, and then they'll either be euthanized or they will be moved to a shelter and an adoption facility, but they won't be there while they're in the adoption process. And so they're not going out and bringing animals in, they're not going out and capturing animals, those kinds of things that they do now. That's off the table. The jurisdictions are going to handle that.
So the county would have to
I guess if the sheriff gets a call out in one of the villages.
Mm-hmm. Right now, the funding that you're providing to the health department, that pays for an officer. So that money can be moved towards whatever department the officer would be housed in. Because it could be with the sheriff's department, it could be with another department. Or you could go into some sort of kind of a hybrid model where you have multiple jurisdictions sharing that law officer, and it can be housed someplace else, the city of Branson or wherever. So I think there's a lot of ways to do that.
Yeah.
But
you're going to wind up with an east side, west side thing. It's unreasonable for a guy to come from Branson and go over to Pro Tem mm-hmm. and pick up a stray, where if in fact you had somebody closer.
And the county has its own vehicle too. You have a pretty brand new vehicle as well.
And it may be something that can almost be a little bit of a not bad deal. Now, I don't know who this individual is now, so they may not want to move to Taneyville. But you do something like put them at Taneyville. There's another good job at Taneyville. They're housing their vehicle, and they're responding from that location. And they report for duty maybe here at Forsyth for supervision and administration and that kind of stuff.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so
but it probably won't be really what we're calling the east side, west side, because the east side, Branson Creek, is not going to want to come over to here. That's east side.
Well, I'm saying geographically rather than District 1, District 2 commissions. So, I would guess that once this is all done, that there would kind of be like a little map where these officers, the control officers, would get together. There's something called urban services districts that are where a county divides up who does what where, and it'd be something like that where you'd have animal control districts and the guy from Taneyville covers these areas and that's based on demand and drive time and all of that kind of stuff, and then the guys from Branson and Hollister cover these areas based on drive time and that. The problem with Branson and Hollister is unless we have some kind of mutual aid stuff, we don't have jurisdiction mm-hmm. to go out. And I'm not sure that we're excited about going out into unincorporated Taney County on our own, and here's a Hollister policeman, and he's out chasing somebody's dog. And mm-hmm. that will get you guys phone calls pretty quickly, mm-hmm. and probably us too. So we're really saying we're probably going to have to stay within our incorporated city limits under our own ordinances, our own jurisdictions. And then you guys have an animal control guy at large east and an animal control guy at large west, and they handle the unincorporated areas. Or you contract with Taneyville, Merriam Woods, Rockaway Beach to provide the services, and there's a little bit of a payroll share that they pitch in to help pay for your officer. But he provides that service. Or she.
Thank you.
So.
For the shelter side, one of the things that I just saw right out, as Rick was mentioning, who would be the best one to have those employees, I would caution for looking at the benefit side. Obviously, there's a benefit package, and unfortunately, with the health department, those costs were quite a bit. So with that said, it would be a good option to see who has a reasonable benefit packet that those costs would not increase for the rest of them. So meaning comparing what the cost is if it was a Branson employee, a county employee, or a Hollister employee, to see what would be the lower cost so that those costs would not go up. Like you would be tripping on the same stone like we did.
And also the bulk of that would be the law.
Yeah, it was
the loggers that really
took
the skills.
But I'm thinking that we're all on the same logger, so. Mm-hmm.
And I think we discussed this just a little bit last time. The benefit package for the health department you consider for an employee just basically.
Yes, only employee, and it's you mean a percentage or
mm-hmm. percentage?
I would unfortunately with the health department. Each employee has its own percentage because the health insurance is based on age and gender.
Really?
So that can be as low as a young male, a 25-year-old, or as high as an older, 50, 60-year-old male. So.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, it is.
Policy.
It is with our group policy. But then again, if we average it, it's probably going to be about 39% overall. But it could be, like I said,
taxes. And
yes. Payroll taxes. Your loggers and
30 is the rule of thumb. Yeah. That's an average. That's a good thing to plan to. Is 1/3 of your cost per employee is kind of a package.
And that's something for the group to decide. What would do better? And if it's something that it is going to be that cost is going to be split between whoever, so it might not be as much as.
But I think this cost is calculated into part of the per animal cost of doing this, and then divided out between all of the partners to what their input is. So if you think you're going to put in 25 animals, we budget based on you think you're going to put in 25 animals. Then there's a per animal cost. Let's say you put in 30. It just costs you more because you get billed per animal, but it's at the per animal rate. So now we have to take a look at that too and find out that it's not off the charts and we can't afford to do it like that. So we may have to just do some kind of a base charge annually.
Based on population.
Yeah, you do something like that. You put in this much and then plus a per animal. And it works out that way. So all of us have a animal control contract with the intake facility, and our access to the intake facility is $50,000 a year for Hollister. And then our per animal cost is $50 an animal that goes there. And if we do 100 animals, we're starting to get right back to our $100,000 that we were going to just put into the beginning. But you don't want to set those numbers at the very beginning and then somebody does a lot more. Biosolids was an example where Rockaway Beach finally got their wastewater plant under control. Well, they had a whole bunch more solids than they normally would just to get them under control. Well, you could say, look, you only had 14 dry tons this year, so too bad for you. Your plant can never get straight. They just bring it all in, and they pay the extra cost, and it gets in there, and then the rest of the partners level that out. And so somebody has more dogs or cats than what they had anticipated. Fine, they just pay for each animal. And then next year, when you audit all this stuff, you look at your costs, and a per animal cost goes up or down. And I think you get through it. But that's all calculable, and that's all known. But again, that's just the intake facility. I would hope that the shelter and the adoption agency stands alone. We have an agreement with them. We don't worry about their employees. We don't worry about their facility. We don't worry about anything. We contract with them to take adoptable animals. And that's it.
We feel like that we can find an organization to take that on.
I think the unattractive part of that is the euthanization and the assessment and all that. They don't want to do that part because, as everybody points out, there's a demoralizing side to that.
It may be something that, as the partnership develops the RFP, once you get some of those people that are interested, you sit down with them, then that might be where you can iron out some of this, because I think there's some entities out there that, you know, they realize that there's some animals that you bring in and they're not adoptable. No matter what you do to them, their behavior, whatever happened to them, you know, they're just not going to adopt them out. And they'll understand that, you know, yeah, euthanization has to be an option on the table, because you can't just keep stacking dogs into a rescue facility, you know, for eternity if that's not feasible. So I think that if we have those discussions with people, we might find some people that are not so off where you're probably at with euthanization.
Could be. Now, even once the animal's adoptable and they go to the rescue facility, and it's not a no-kill facility, it's just a rescue facility, and they find that this animal is not suitable or there's just no future, it's theirs. Once it leaves us, it's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And they can...
And it's like buying a used car this summer. Guaranteed when you go to adopt that dog. But we got one for a daughter once. She just loved it, the animal shelter. Probably had it 2 weeks, and suddenly he turned vicious. We couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and so all of that said, that's the business.
Yeah.
But again, who's the staff? Well, Sherry and the staff are there now. The animal control officers are there now, so there's not like there's nobody. Now, they may not want to stay under a new regime, but there's a reason to believe that if we can work with them and if they know that this is coming, I would hope that somewhere along the line we had some reasonable way forward to telegraph to them that if you stay, there is a future here. This is what it might look like, and so make your career decisions on this. If we get down to November and we don't have any way forward and their jobs are going away in a month, if I was them, I'd be looking for a different place and tell us to worry about it on our own. And I would hope that wouldn't be the case. So.
And I will say a lot of these details in terms of how it's going to operate, they can be ironed out, you know, after this partnership is there. The partnership is the very first step. If we don't take that step, all these other things we're going about, it's just, you know, real. So the partnership has to occur before anything else can happen. So the next steps, do we reach back to each jurisdiction to have them formally look at this, or do they need to have a meeting with just the jurisdictions to come forward to look at these bylaws and the partnership agreement and make a decision?